Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro Call. Today is December 8th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. So I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Anybody have anything? I know Jen is actually out. This is the part where Jen usually pops on and says, Kelly, I have something, which is always kind of nice because they're usually relevant. But she's out at the National Groundwater Association convention in Las Vegas with a lot of other people from our industry as well. She says she's seeing a lot of the same people that she often sees at the WQA event. I did have an exciting announcement regarding the training facility. I'm going to just put this out there that those of you that are considering doing the training, we now have authorization to use the certified installer curriculum from WQA, which means that anybody that comes through our course will become eligible as long as once they hit the 6-month minimum time requirement, they will become eligible to take the exam. So they will have gone through the certified installer curriculum, and the training facility will qualify for all of their practical requirements. And so they will be eligible to take the certified installer exam as well. So that was kind of exciting to be able to bring that and combine the two and make it consistent. So we are here at Motor Vitality and MV Marketplace pretty excited about that, although, some month away before it's supposed to be done. So that part has meant lots of hours building. And remembering that I don't move quite the way I used to 10, 15 years ago. If nobody has anything to add or any comments there, then we'll jump right into our topic. And I want to start the topic off today by asking those of you on the call to just define sales. Give me a definition for sales. Just throw out a definition. Like if it was in Webster's, or I don't know, does anybody read Webster's? Google Dictionary, dictionary.com now. What would you see? What would be the definition of sales?
The practice of fulfilling a need or benefit for a customer.
That's pretty good. The practice of fulfilling a need or a benefit for a customer. Good. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else want to give it a try?
Ken says the dictionary says the exchange of a commodity for money. That's what the dictionary says.
The exchange of a commodity. Okay. Right. That would be, that's definitely a very dictionary-like definition. That's true, absolutely. So those of you that are in, well, let me ask you this: how would you define your job in sales? If somebody said, "So, what do you do?" Stacy, you had a great sales definition. What do you do?
I take care of people's water problems.
Okay, all right. And anybody else? What do you do? What do you do, Lane? What's your job?
I'm educating people about the benefits of clean water.
Okay. So those are excellent answers, and I love – and you know what? It doesn't surprise me. I mean, the fact that you guys are on this call every week, I think is probably one teeny tiny indication that you are professionals, you know, that you are looking at ways to – to better serve the industry and your customers and your company and those types of things, I think. But where I was going with this is in the topic of today's call is 'tis the season, right? So this is a season, supposedly, it can get pretty commercialized at times, but the whole idea of the season, and it really, you know, if you, regardless of which or any religious, you know, basis you have, usually this season represents giving. It represents, you know, gifts and giving to people and sacrifice and those types of things. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that and how it relates to what we do, and just kind of give a reminder about what our jobs actually are. Okay, so, you know, it's so funny because just like around Christmas time, people can get wrapped up in the commercialism and it can be like, oh, I can't wait. I'm going to get these presents. I'm going to get this. I think sometimes in sales, it's the same thing. I'm having a great month. I'm going to make so much commission this month. And really what it comes down to and what sales should be about is the same thing the season should be about, which is giving. You know, when you drive up to a house and you look at it, you know, what is going through your brain? Is it, I'm going to make so much commission today? Or is it, I'm going to find a way to help these people today. I'm going to serve these people. And, you know, even when I think that this is the way that we should approach all of it, no matter what our jobs are. You know, when my definition of sales and what I did, probably very similar to yours, Stacy, but it would have had, you know, it would have been to serve my customers, to help them with their water treatment needs or answer any questions that they have, providing a service. It is true that you are exchanging a commodity. How did Ken say it, Elaine? Exchanging a commodity for currency.
For money.
Correct. So, and there is an exchange. I've always believed, though, that a successful sales transaction, it becomes a lot easier when the person receiving feels like they are getting greater value than the currency they are giving back. And so ultimately that's what sales should be about, is giving more than taking. It should be pretty easy. You know, you shouldn't need fancy closing techniques. You shouldn't need to be able to, you know, to manipulate or trick people into buying something if what you are offering is more than what you're asking. And if your biggest concern is about what you're giving to them. Even when I was in management, you will never hear me refer to the job that I had. People go, well, what did you do at that company? I say, I served a team of 12 sales professionals. And it was my job to make sure that they were successful, to help guide them. And so I found that approach of giving, of helping, actually has served me quite well. It's actually helped me have some success in the positions that I had. So, and look, we fall short. All of us fall short. Sometimes we get a little selfish. Sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes it can be a little bitter, especially when you feel like you're being taken for granted or taken advantage of. And there are those customers out there that will do that. You know, I remember my kids and I for 20 years, we on Christmas Day, literally 20 years, we did it. I'm going to miss it. I haven't done it in the last couple of years because I've been an empty nester, but we would buy Christmas presents, buy a bunch of presents for, you know, and wrap them up and put age ranges on them and make them boy, girl. And we would go to the hospital and hand out gifts to the kids stuck on in the hospital on Christmas Day, which I always thought would suck, you know, to be there on Christmas, and I do a little magic. So I would go in and I would do magic for them and for the families that were there with them. And if they're teenagers, I would usually, you know, take, depending on my financial situation, you know, tens or twenties, and give cash to the teenagers because they didn't want any of the, you know, the toys necessarily that we had. So give them cash. And I always loved that. I loved it when people appreciated it, when they saw it. There were a couple times when you'd have kids that, even parents, that would come, you know, the idea was to give these to the kids that were stuck there. But you'd have, there were a couple years that there were kids that came running around just looking for the handout. You know, they weren't even there. They were just, they had to stop in for something, you know, and they weren't stuck there on the hospital. And they just, you know, even parents, I've got another kid at home. Can I have $10 for my kid at home? You know, it just took away some of the joy of the giving because you felt like you're being taken advantage of, you know, like people didn't understand what we were doing. Still did it, but it left a little bitterness there. That happens. And I know that we have customers with what we do, you know, that it sometimes happens the same way where you're trying to give to them and you feel a little like you're being taken for granted or taken advantage of. But ultimately, those are usually far and few between. So I wanted to kind of open it up a little bit to you guys and ask, and, you know, because 'tis the season, what do you do? Kind of share, if you would, what you do to give, you know, to, and this should be year round, right? It's not just this season, but I wanted to reflect on it a little bit today. You know, what do you do to give to your customers? What do you do to, you know, to give more than what you're asking for? What are some of the things that you offer that is of greater value than the currency that they're giving back to you?
After their equipment is installed, I always go back for a follow-up, and I always leave a sticker with my direct phone number on the equipment so they can reach me if they have any questions. And I can tell you I've got a couple of over 55 condo neighborhoods that I have little old ladies that call me all the time to come reset their softener or check it if it's not working right. And I can tell you, like last time I was out for one, her neighbor showed up and said, can you come check mine too? She said you were going to be here and things like that. Just being there for them.
Yeah, it's a good feeling knowing that you're available and answering those. And don't you love it when you have those customers that really appreciate it, you know, that understand that you're doing an above and beyond, you know, that it's this wow type thing.
Yeah.
You there?
And a lot of them try to tip or, you know, I always just tell them, it's like, you know, we try very hard to take care of our customers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I go out on that, somebody's moved into a house with our equipment and I go out and just basically test it and explain it to them, they're always really grateful, especially when I don't charge them for it.
You know, it's interesting you talk about the tip, Stacy. That might be an interesting call topic to have sometime on how we handle tips, what we do. That might be an interesting thing to talk about sometime. But I've found as I've worked in different areas of the country that tipping is that happened on occasion. You know, when I told the story a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago where, you know, I used to go out and do the same thing, you know, kind of reset. Help people, you know, I go, well, we can do one of two things. You know, I can either have service come out there and take a look at it, or if you want, I can swing out and take a look myself. And I'm not a service tech, but if it's something simple, I can find it. And, you know, I'd go out there and I'd explain to them what they had and reset the timer. And a lot of times, you know, the system that I was looking at was fine, is working perfectly fine. They go, oh man, can I give you something? Can I tip you? You know, can I? And I was, no, don't, you know, I don't need any of that. And I would always say that. And but I always appreciated that they wanted to. It was interesting, you know, that didn't happen often. It didn't happen where people offered a tip, but that was, I was in Michigan. I didn't think it. When I went to work in New York, for the client I was working with out there, it was interesting that everybody tips, and it, it became a almost a you know, almost like a insult if they didn't offer a tip, you know. And it was it was kind of interesting that the tips didn't really mean as much to when they were offered. The service guys, and when I was training service guys out there, they always loved it when I rode with them, because people would tip like double, you know. They'd give like me a tip and the service guy a tip, both of us, and I always gave them mine, so they'd always end up with double that day. So, because it was just, you know, that I felt like it was part of my job to go out there and do it. I didn't need a tip. We were already getting paid to do it. But the tip part is kind of interesting, that I was always a little uncomfortable taking the tips, because the whole idea was to offer more, to give more. You know, I wasn't doing it to get the tip. I was doing it, although, you know, sometimes for me, a thank you or just some sign of appreciation that actually is heartfelt, that means something, that goes a lot further than the actual tip does. Do they tip, Elaine, out in California? Is it pretty common for service techs or even salespeople to get tips?
No, not common.
Yeah. It's weird. It's, how common is it for you, Stacey, to get?
Often, but yeah. I have been tipped in farm fresh eggs, barbecue sauce.
Yeah, now that I have taken, right? I had a guy that did candles, and he gave me like a whole bunch of candles. I had somebody else that gave me like a box of cheese. There was a huge box of cheese. So yeah, you get that. Get cookies.
I had a guy give me Crown Royal once. I had vodka.
Yeah.
So the Crown Royal dude was actually a guy that had worked with my father-in-law years ago.
Yeah.
But and my father-in-law was a huge Crown Royal fan. So he tipped me in Crown Royal. But I had a guy that actually was a truck driver for a distillery.
Yeah.
And he didn't drink. And I was out selling him a softener for his mom's house. On the day he had his company Christmas party, he gave me vodka and a couple other like sample bottles, because he didn't drink, but they gave it to him. And he's like, "Oh, here, you take this."
Ha, interesting.
So
I had candles. I had one with somebody gave me like a whole bunch of candles one time, because they worked at a store. The same thing where they had like a ton of samples. Forgot about that. So. Elaine, you're not actually out there in sales. You're not in the home, but what do you do, you know, as part of, I mean, you know, we're all in sales, right? I mean, everything is sales. All of us are in sales.
We have protocols. I have a dedicated person who calls every install within the first 48 hours. And she, you know, says, "I'm Liz. I'm your contact person. I'm here Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Do you have any questions? How was your install?" She reminds them that if they lose the number, it's the stickers on the unit. And so she does that, and that's really helpful. We also use a program called Send Out Cards, and it's kind of like a glossy Hallmark card. And so we send it to all the customers. It kind of gives, you know, thank them for being a member of our water treatment family, and, you know, we appreciate your business. And we give them the number again on that card. I make my sales guys, when I say make it, it's like pulling teeth because they don't want to do it, but I make them go out within the first 30 days and retest and talk to the customer and answer questions. We also don't have salt service in California. I don't know, maybe other people do. It's not real common. But if they tell us, you know, we'll put salt in for them, or if they buy it, we'll just charge them pretty much what we pay for it, and then we'll put it in for free for them. I've got young tech, so they don't mind doing it. It's not very often, but if people ask, we will put salt in. But I think the main thing that we do that maybe, and I don't know if it differentiates us from anybody else, but we are on call 24/7. So it is very common, and I'll tell you, mostly on the weekends, Ken and I will field calls all weekend. And it could be something as simple as my leak detector's going off, I have water, my softeners, I don't think it's working. And so we'll, you know, we'll talk to people and tell them how to turn it off. We'll explain what an error code is. And so we personally take calls. And I think the fact that we're the owners, people feel very important, you know, that they're speaking to us and that we're answering their questions. And a lot of stuff we can't fix, but we'll, you know, at least hear them out. We'll let them know the office will call them first thing Monday. We'll take care of their problems. And so, you know, we commit to answering all after-hour calls personally.
No, I think that's huge. I do. And, you know, that 24-hour service thing or being available, I think you're right. It does make a difference with, you know, when the owners are participating. I think, and I don't know if you, you know, this is something you've thought about, but I think that can make a difference with, if I worked in your company, that would mean something to me as well. And so I, you know, I was going to direct the question, what do you do to give to your, you know, to your team, to your company, and without getting into pay and benefits and all of that stuff. I think what you just said to a professional would be very impressive to know that you and Ken are not asking people to do something that you wouldn't do or aren't willing to do yourselves, you know, to step up and be part of the team. There are so many owners or so many managers out there that just want to, you know, you guys go do it. I'm going to go over here and play on my boat, you know, and look, that happens, right? And as an owner or manager, you should be allowed to have some, you know, you should be allowed to take some time off too. But I think it really is a gift to a team when they can look and see that everybody is participating in the success of the company, you know? And so I think that's an impressive thing, not only to your customers, but hopefully to the people within the organization too. And you know what, when we talk about appreciating, you know, and recognizing, there's a, you know, I don't see you or Ken being the kind of people that would go, look what we do. We answer phones all day with you, you know, on the weekends while you guys are off taking the weekends. You're not going to go out there and point that out to them and, you know, rub it in their face. But it does feel kind of good when somebody comes, you know, if you had an employee that would come up to you and say, hey, you know what? I really appreciate that you guys do that. That, you know, my customer called and I got a referral because you guys answered the phone this weekend, and I just wanted to say how much that means to me to, you know, to work for a company where owners are willing to do that. I don't know. That would probably feel kind of good, wouldn't it? That would be like probably a more valuable tip than somebody, you know, flipping you $100. Would you agree?
As a sales rep, I think that would be phenomenal because I can tell you as a general rule of thumb, besides the sales reps, the only other person working weekends in our office is the guy, the service guy that's on call.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm like, I had a customer calling with an issue and it wasn't a service issue. It was, he hadn't been called on Friday to let him know what time his install was on Monday. So I tried calling the installer. This was on Friday night. I got no call back. I tried calling and texted in both cases. My direct boss got no call response back. Sunday, I got frustrated and texted the general manager. You know what? Bless his heart. He said, I'm out of town right now. I'll be back later today. I'll look it up on the schedule when I get back.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
responded. And when my
it
darling boss
difference.
Responded Monday, it's like, did you ever hear back from service? And I'm like, no, or you, but Jim did take care of it. Thanks.
You know, people do deserve time off. They are allowed to turn their phones off, but it does make a difference when you know that, you know, usually that, you know, it's nice to know that everybody's participating in the, you know, in the same way. Do you ever get, Elaine, does anybody ever acknowledge that within your organization that you guys do that? Because I think that's a pretty big deal.
They all know it because, like, if somebody's on an install, they'll call Ken and say, I'm not sure about the drain line. They'll send Ken pictures. They'll get, like, on-the-spot help from him.
Yeah.
And then even with the sales reps, they know that if somebody calls them and they can't answer the question, then the sales reps will call Ken or myself directly. Or usually they'll say,
yeah.
Is Ken there? Can I talk to Ken? I have a question. Or I have a question about, you know, something. And so everyone knows that we take calls, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Listen, you guys, I want to, you know, in the last 2 minutes of this call, we're gonna have, I think, two more calls this year. So we'll finish up, you know, we'll have one next week, and then the 22nd. I was debating on whether or not to make next week's the last of the year, but I think we'll probably do one more just on the 22nd as well. But I did want to just say this. The gift that you guys give to me is by putting this on a calendar and being here every week. These calls, I really enjoy them. I look forward to them. And it is the fact that you guys find value in them is your gift to me, and one that I just want to say very much is appreciated. So I think anybody have any final comments to add or anything they want to say before we finish up today?
No, likewise, though.
Yeah, likewise. We do get a benefit out of this, so we do appreciate it.
Well, invite people. And those of you that are listening to this recording, we will talk to you. You know, the same goes to you. I love getting the feedback. I love getting the emails from you guys and the comments from you guys that, you know, that you listened or that you had a comment on it as well. So, I look forward to those as well, to those of you that are listening to this on recording. So anyway, with that, I will, we'll finish up today. Thank you very much, you guys, and be safe. And we will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.